Now, as we mentioned earlier, it is the M word again, the menopause. But today we're going to try out the natural menopause method, which is a nutritional guide to address the many common symptoms of the menopause. To tell us about her book, The Natural Menopause Method, a nutritional guide to perimenopause and beyond, welcome to the show, Karen Newby.
Hi, thanks for having me.
It brings me out in a hot flush just saying the word. It can be a nightmare, can't it, for some women, yeah. For some women. So you're a registered nutritionist. So can you just give us a brief outline of exactly what's happening in our bodies when this happens?
Yes, well, quite a lot. And this is what I wanted to get across, really, is to help us understand what's going on so that we can do something about it. Stress has a massive impact on us at perimenopause. We are incredibly stressed at this time at midlife. You know, we're often at the top of our game work-wise, often dealing with small children in the house, or dare I say it, teenagers like I'm having to. Whereas, you know, the generation before, they were often way past menopause. You know, their children often left the house when they were well past menopause. So we're often dealing with loss and, yeah. There's a lot of stress going on, which has a massive impact on our hormones and on our sleep. And obviously, if we're waking up feeling exhausted, then we're more likely to reach for less helpful kind of foods and lots of caffeine, etc. And then it creates this catch-22.
Yeah.
So there's so much that we can do to help with food and simple lifestyle shifts that can help support us, whether or not we're on HRT. I mean, I'm very much a complementary practitioner and work a lot with women on HRT. But, you know, there's only so far HRT can go kind of thing.
Yeah. And is it a one size fits all? Does one thing that you say in your book or certain recipes help with everything? Or are there certain things like that can help with hot flushes, other foods that can help with sleep deprivation?
Yeah, absolutely. So what I've done is in the upfront sections, I've looked at things like, you know, how to deal with our life load, you know, the hurried women syndrome, I call it, how to deal with digestive issues, which often leave the building as well at midlife, and what to eat. So I give like a comprehensive kind of therapeutic diet, if you see what I mean. We don't need a balanced diet at perimenopause, we need a therapeutic one. And then about a good third of the book is troubleshooting. There are loads of foods and lifestyle interventions that can really help common symptoms like the hot flushes, which, you know, 8 out of 10 of us will be experiencing, you know, knowing what your triggers are, etc., as well as some helpful foods to increase in your diet. A lot of what I'm talking about is adding foods in as opposed to taking foods out, because most of my clients, their food isn't bad, it's not ultra processed, it's not, you know, full of takeaways and things like that, but it's often quite low in nutrients. So it's helping us get towards more nutrient dense food, away from the energy dense food. So yeah, in the troubleshooting section, yeah, that will look at things like insomnia and migraines and allergies we start to get more of, as well as aches and pains. And I also look at osteoporosis as well, which isn't a symptom of perimenopause, but it can be something, a condition that is more, you know, can happen more at postmenopause.
So when the book says a guide to perimenopause and beyond, are you talking perimenopause and the menopause, or are you mainly focusing on the perimenopause?
Absolutely. So the menopause, actually, interestingly, is only one day. It's the day from a year from, you know, it's from the year that you last had your last period. And this new kind of term, perimenopause, is describing the lead up to that one day, which can be, you know, 5+ years for many of us. And then also we talk about postmenopause as well. So all the things that I'm talking about in the book will help support us vitality-wise, you know, because energy is often lacking as well for post-menopause, you know, and beyond that, basically. So,
right.
Absolutely.
So you call it post-menopause then, I understand. Mm. And you mentioned finding out what your triggers are. Do different women have different triggers then?
For hot flushes?
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. So some women might really be affected by hot, spicy foods. some might be affected. Actually, even sort of naturopathic foods like ginger and turmeric, which are very useful as anti-inflammatories, can also cause too much heat in the body. Or some might be affected by caffeine. A lot of us are affected by alcohol, I would say.
Yeah.
Some of us are not affected by caffeine, but might be affected by hot drinks. So even those herbal teas might be exacerbating the issue. So it's about doing a sort of a, I like to do do a diary to see what your triggers are, but there's also lots of foods that we can add in to help reduce those hot flushes. So quite often with a hot flush, they're caused by a temperature drop, because estrogen, annoyingly, is involved with lots of different systems in the body, which is why we have such far-reaching symptoms. And it's involved in our temperature control. So if we suddenly get a drop in estrogen, that can reduce our temperature quickly in the body. So the body thinks, okay, I need to recalibrate and sort of stimulate noradrenaline and adrenaline, which are vasodilatory, to open up the sweat glands and the pores on the skin to basically allow us to sweat. And that's when we get the heat. But those hormones like adrenaline and noradrenaline, they are actually related to the stress response. So that's why hot flushes can also be triggered by stress.
Right.
And those hormones as well are also triggered when we get a low in blood sugar. And I think this is a lot of women and men as well deal with sort of lows in blood sugar, like feeling hangry or shaky and faint. These are all signs of low blood sugar. And a lot of us have to deal with that. And that can also trigger a hot flush.
Wow, that's interesting. And is there anything we can do when we get them, when you're having a hot flush and you literally feel like you're about to self-combust, is there anything you can do to calm yourself down?
Well, breathing exercises are supposed to help, certainly when if it's a stress trigger. So quite often, you know, if you're about to do a presentation, you know, we have to deal with a hot flush. And then the sort of alternate nostril breathing or square breathing can help reduce the kind of the fight or flight, which is can be creating this adrenaline rush, which is making us vasodilate and make us flush. But I would always say that, being on top of what is your trigger is probably the most helpful thing. There are also some other foods that you can add in, like phytoestrogens, which aren't estrogens, but they have a very mild estrogenic effect on the body. And really help with these kind of roller coasters we get leading up to menopause. They actually help to sort of mimic estrogen in a very mild way on the sort of the surface of our cells, and they can really help reduce that kind of the hot flushes.
Okay.
But also acupuncture as well. You can get kind of acupuncture magnets and things that you can put on the sort of heat spots to help with that. But yeah, the phytoestrogens are very much part of the sort of the therapeutic foods that I talk about in the book. They come from a very wide, you don't need to like tofu, but obviously tofu is a big family of foods, like tofu and tempeh and edamame beans. And actually in Asia, they don't suffer with hot flushes like we do. Wow. And one of the reasons for that is the fact that they do have a lot of soy-based foods in their diet. But you don't have to like tofu. You can also use ground linseed. So linseed has something in it called lignans, which is another group of phytoestrogens. And I have, you know, at least 2 heaped tablespoons on my porridge or on my bircher or in my granola. And the great thing about ground linseed is that, or flaxseed as it's called in the States, is that it will also be giving you lots of protein and lots of omega-3s as well. Protein is so important at perimenopause as well, to help give us that drip feed of energy so we don't get those highs and lows in sugar as well.
Yeah, two of the sort of buzzwords I keep hearing about to eat during the menopause are avocados and almonds. Mm-hmm. Are they good for you, particularly good for you during the menopause?
Yeah, I mean, avocados are a really good source of a mineral called magnesium, which is incredibly important if you're having problems sleeping. Avocados are also a really good fat as well, a monounsaturated fat. You know, fat is our friend, and certainly if you're dealing with sort of sudden weight gain that can happen at perimenopause, then, you know, more protein and more beneficial fats in your diet is definitely something, a way to crowd out those cravings for sugar. And then, sorry, what was the other food? Oh, almonds.
Almonds
are brilliant. Any kind of nut is a powerhouse of minerals. And almonds are a great source of calcium. You know, we don't need a dairy herd to get our calcium. We can get it from plants. If you think what a cow is eating, it's eating lots of greens. Green leafy vegetables are great sources of calcium, but also this magnesium as well. So if you suffer with a sort of twitchy leg or still getting PMS cramping, or, you know, you have problems sleeping, magnesium is very calming to the nervous system.
Yeah, you've just mentioned what was going to be actually my next question, because a lot of women suffer from weight gain during the menopause or perimenopause, particularly around sort of the middle area, the belly area.
Yeah.
So do you have sort of lists in your book of the foods that can help with that particularly? Because some ladies might not suffer from the hot flushes and the sleep, but just the weight gain.
Yeah, absolutely. So there's a lot about helpful foods and lifestyle interventions for weight loss, and this especially the weight gain around the middle. And the reason why we get this sudden weight gain is because there's a few things. One, our metabolism is changing, because estrogen is also involved in our insulin handling. So how is our sugar handling? So how well we process sugar. We become more insulin resistant at perimenopause. With our dips in estrogen. And this can actually mean that we then need more of the storage hormone, that is insulin, to deal with carbohydrates. And that's why it's so important to focus your foods in to lots of beneficial fats and proteins and only complex carbohydrates. So just being aware of too many carbs, because our body finds it really difficult to handle it, hence cue cravings and hangry. But also with our dips in estrogen, we also start to get a male pattern of weight gain. I'm a middle, annoyingly. And then we also get, you know, we can also suffer with hair loss as well, male pattern baldness. Because testosterone actually, which is, you know, a female hormone as well, can be quite sort of continuous throughout perimenopause. It doesn't have the dips, the roller coasters like estrogen and progesterone. So there's, I write a lot in the book about how to feel more in control of what you're eating. And the way that I approach weight loss is never to diet for a start, because diets don't work. As soon as we come off them, the weight goes back on. I think we go on about 4 a year and then, you know, they don't work. Calorie counting is so miserable and so, you know, last millennium. And also, you know, this is time of a lot of stress for us. And the last thing I want is women to be feeling a sense of deprivation. So also this weight around the middle can also be called the worry waist. So it can be to do with too much stress. Remember caffeine, if you're drinking a lot of tea and coffee, that increases cortisol in the body. That is basically increasing your fight or flight. So caffeine, enjoying a couple of coffees or teas with your breakfast, with food, which lessens the effect of the caffeine like alcohol does if you have it with food. And then this can mean that you're, you know, you're not hanging off your hormones and you're not increasing that stress hormone. So no dieting, but it's about increasing nutrient-dense foods away from the energy-dense ones that are just your sort of, you know, fats with no other minerals or vitamins in, or, you know, refined carbohydrates. And then we start to rewire. We start to not crave things mid-morning because we've actually had a really protein-rich breakfast. We don't get that sort of 3 o'clock slump because we've had colorful plants and, you know, some, you know, lots of different things for lunch as opposed to a sandwich. You know, a sandwich, I call it a sad sandwich. It just doesn't fill us up. And that cut, that sort of refined carb from the bread and then the gluten, which is very hard to digest. Gluten means, in Latin, means glue. It's sticking to your insides. But that can, you know, it doesn't give us sustenance. And I think for so many of us, we eat most of our nutrient-dense foods at the end of the day. And actually, if we ate that for breakfast, we would feel much more kind of in control. We wouldn't need to snack more. And we would be giving the body the energy from food when we need it, as opposed to right at the end of the day, which is when it's more likely to be laid down as fat.
Yeah. And what about supplements? If somebody just cannot eat certain things that they're supposed to be, can we get supplements for it?
Yeah, so in the book, I talk at length about supplements. I talk about, you know, what to look out for when you're choosing supplements. And also within the troubleshooting section, I do actually list out some of my preferred supplements. I don't work for any of these supplement brands, but some, you know, supplements that I see working quite well in my practice. So there's a huge kind of, you know, there's a lot of intel there in terms of kind of what to consider. I think supplements are very helpful, in my opinion, because we live in such a turbocharged world that is so far removed from how our body is built. For example, if you're really, really stressed, then you need more vitamin C because our adrenals that kick out all these stress hormones need lots of vitamin C, and we don't store vitamin C very well, so we need a lot of it. So that's something that people might want to consider. But also think, if you don't like oily fish, for example, which is the best source of omega-3s and essential fatty acids, which is really anti-inflammatory, so great if you're dealing with any aches and pains. And if you don't like oily fish, then you can supplement. But obviously, you know, with anything to do with supplementation, if you're on any medications, then please speak to your GP first. Because, you know, sometimes there can be contraindications. So, for example, if you don't like to eat lots of soy, you can actually take phytoestrogen supplements, although not recommended for anyone that's coming through breast cancer, but it can be safely used if you're on HRT. However, you know, I'm always about food first, because there's no such thing as a vitamin C tree. The wonders of food gives you lots of different things at the same time, like tofu, for example, will give you phytoestrogen, but it's a great source of protein, and it's a great source of calcium, for example. So you'll be getting so much more from lots of different foods than you do from necessarily a supplement.
Yeah, and I know that you're all for natural, which is great, but can all this replace HRT, or people that are really suffering, should they take HRT as well?
I tend to, basically, I'm very much a complementary practitioner. I work a lot with women on HRT. I work a lot with British menopause specialist GPs. And I'm very much about, and actually two GPs have written in my book, one about HRT and another one about something to do with insomnia. So I'm very much about this being part of your toolkit. I'm not saying it should replace HRT, and I'm not saying that it should, everyone is individual. And for some women, you know, I'm very much, you know, the wonders of modern medicine, and some women really do suffer. However, on that note, there is so much that you can do with your food and lifestyle. Even if you're in your, you know, if we've got women listening in their sort of early 40s or late 30s, you know, to sort your cycle out now will really help you, and to support your liver, et cetera, which is all to do with hormones, will help you later on. So there's a lot of prelim work you can do. So I'm very much a naturopath. However, you know, I'm all for, if you need to take HRT, then, you know, do speak to your practitioner about it.
Yeah, of course. And finally, there's a 14-day cleanse in the book.
Yes, there is. The cleanse is there, and it's very much a, you can still function in the real world. It comes within the sort of the cleanse section of the upfront section, which is really about supporting our liver and our gut. For many women, we're constipated.
Yeah.
And that can mean that certain toxins and hormones can get recirculated. So it's very important to have a liver that is working well and a gut. So the cleanse is really, it's kind of a nice way to sort of rewire, and I do it, you know, twice a year. It's just basically plant-based, gluten-free. There's no caffeine or no alcohol in there either, and no sort of additives and things. Basically, it allows you to actually cook new things, and a lot of those recipes will stay with you post-cleanse. It allows you to experiment with things like tofu that you might not have done before. But it just helps to flood your body with lots of micronutrients. Actually, patients that have done the cleanse have often found that their hot flushes are much better, because they're not getting those hangry lows in blood sugar, because they're eating loads of protein and fiber and things like that. And you won't feel hungry on it either, because actually I'm very much about eating more. You know, I see so many women in practice that don't eat all day and just have, you know, the sandwich and loads of caffeine. You know, they struggle to lose weight. So it's about helping support your body, your thyroid, etc., through lots of high nutrient foods.
Right. Okay. Well, it really is fascinating stuff, and I have a copy of the book that I've already started going through. But our listeners can buy it from our website. Of course, it's tre.radio. It's called The Natural Menopause Method: A Nutritional Guide to Perimenopause and Beyond, and it's by Karen Newby, who we're chatting to now. Karen, do you have your own website as well?
Yes, it's karennewby.com.
Simple as that. Well, thank
nice
you.
Nice and easy.
Yes. Thank you so much for all your advice and being on the show.
That's
with us
awesome.
Today.
Thanks for having me.
My pleasure. Bye. Bye-bye.